out there over pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today I've invited Brother Kieran Fenn to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, beate.
Brother Kieran Fenn is a Champagnat brother and Bible scholar, originally from Gisborne, and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. For the month of July, Brother Kieran is inviting us to join for a new Monday series on the Psalms. All sessions stand alone, but they are also connected, so you can join for any of the four sessions. We've already done two, but there are two more to come. Brother Kieran, our next session on the Psalms will be about the so-called penitential Psalms. What are penitential Psalms?
We spoke about in the first session on Psalms of disorientation. And these Psalms are actually experiences of disorientation. And in life between partners has gone wrong. And this could be because of something external happening, or because that the Lord is felt to have abandoned the people, or it could arise from Israel's own infidelity. And of course, that takes us right into the prophets. Now, the covenant, if the covenant is properly functioning, then life should not have these things in it, such as sickness, isolation, prison, abuse, death. These things are not anticipated if the covenant is functioning. But if the covenant is broken, well, that could be because of the individuals, and the speaker in these Psalms readily admits guilt. There's no fault being attributed to the Lord or to anyone else. Personal guilt has led to disorientation. That's a factor right across these seven Psalms. The speaker and God have to re-establish a new relationship. And these Psalms are statements of an intense moment of the relation of God and Israel when something new is required. And that makes a demand on both parties. These Psalms, there's this confession of trespass, of the need for God's forgiveness. These are the prayers of repentant sinners. And from as early as Origen in the 3rd century, Augustine in the 5th century, these seven were set for use, they were set apart for use in the liturgy. And Pope Innocent III, in the 13th century, early, he ordered them for Lent and for Holy Week. They express sorrow as a consequence of sin and the desire for repentance and for the removal of the source of this affliction.
Can we say that the penitential Psalms are when people realize they have done something wrong, or when the people realize that they feel that they are punished, so they are looking at, why am I punished? So is it more that people realize in themselves, oh, I've done something wrong, or is it because, oh, I'm punished, what did I do wrong?
I think these are personal laments through the individual coming to awareness of their own wrong. So it's very strong. In fact, we can pick up the flavor of that from the opening lines of each one. O Lord, Do not rebuke me in your anger. That's the first one. The second one, that was Psalm 6. The second one, Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. And then Psalm 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. And then Psalm 51, Miserere Mei, that one that's used every Friday in the prayer of the church. Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. Psalm 102, hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come unto you. Psalm 130, Israel in the depths. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Psalm 143, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication in your faithfulness, the appeal to the faithfulness of God. So you can really get the flavor from that opening plea. And so often we hear the words, how long, O Lord? So, yes.
That's how the patience, the question of how long do I have to endure it? And that's very human. That's very human.
Yeah. And then another interesting that happened with those seven was that, St. Augustine had them all put up before him before he died. Possibly he had broken the whole lot of them. But what he had broken, actually, eventually they became associated with the seven deadly sins. So Psalm 6 was for pride. Psalm 32 was for greed. Psalm 38 for anger. Psalm 51, the superscription says Song of David after he had gone into Bathsheba. So Psalm 102 was gluttony. Psalm 130 was envy, and Psalm 140 was sloth. So, yes, they're an interesting group of psalms. And, of course, the psalms provide this wonderful link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. About a third of the approximately 300 Old Testament references that appear in the Gospels are taken from the psalms.
One third,
which is rather interesting. So that whole link is a vital one.
Yes.
So yes, these psalms, the seven penitential psalms. I think the Christian imagination is very interesting in terms of linking them with the seven deadly sins. But it's certainly they are very good for Holy Week and also for use during the time of Lent.
Do you think that these seven penitential psalms would have been taught regularly so that every believer would know them? Even in the time of Jesus?
Yes, they might have been important at different times, but I don't think there's a particular, use of them. But I think there should be personal use. Maybe it's because it's tied up with the sense of sin, personal sin and communal sin. I think now we look at our world and we see that the emphasis really should be on communal sin. I can see the individual, we all take responsibility. And these psalms, the message is taking responsibility for your own actions. But nevertheless, there's an enormous need for us to look at this area of social sin. I mean, we only have to apply it to the whole issue of climate change.
Yep.
And then also, of course, we can apply it to, are we looking after one another in the COVID crisis?
The other thing is also when you say the seven sins, that sounds like you can't really do anything. You've done it and that's it. But if you look at the penance and penitential sins, then you can look at the repair. How can you repair what has gone wrong?
Yes. That's the link between personal sin and its effects socially.
Yes.
That's a huge area. But nevertheless, healing begins with oneself and one's relationship with God.
And with recognizing that something was not all right.
Yes, the relationship has gone astray.
Yeah. So you mentioned the individual. So the individual has to realize it, but then as a community, they can work together to repair the world or to repair what has gone wrong. Is it a communal or an individual psalm?
Individual. That's the thing about these psalms. Individual. It's individual, personal lament.
So how were they used? So you said that people wouldn't have learned them by heart, but they would know. So there are these penitential psalms, and you can sing or pray them whenever it suits.
I think it's a devotional exercise, and perhaps in terms of the liturgy, at a personal level, they would be very good for Lent and Holy Week in particular.
Are they not used at the moment for Lent and Holy Week?
I haven't come across it ever being used. I think it's one of those things that's just sitting there waiting for us to rediscover.
Well, maybe we have to inform the liturgists. What kind of psalms are there now during Lent and Advent, if there are no penitential psalms?
In the liturgy, well, the penitential, it seems to be rather sad that the psalms of disorientation very rarely make it into the liturgy, and because the liturgy is recognized as a high point, so you don't like the note coming in that something's wrong. And dear God, I think there is something wrong.
But that's the human part.
I know, the Psalms of Lament. Well, what place do Psalms of Lament have in the liturgy? Disorientation is saying something's wrong. These Psalms are essentially about disorientation. And there's a rather wonderful link, isn't there, with what we started with.
But I'm sure that you can connect also these seven penitential psalms to the Gospels and to the stories of Jesus, and because he was encountering sinners everywhere, and he told them that there is forgiveness and they can repair things. And even if they've done something wrong, like Matthew as a tax collector who said he gives away money, he tries to repair, he's trying at least.
Well, the very opening message of Jesus in the Gospels is calling for a change of heart, conversion. And that's always needed in life.
Yeah. So
I mean, even Pope Francis himself says that he's a sinner. And I think that's the beginning. But nevertheless, I get alarmed with some of these penitential psalms where in Psalm 51, even from birth, a sinner was I conceived. And I just hate that association of original sin with the conception of a child, because Jewish and our own and ourselves recognize a child as a gift from God. So, yes, there's an issue to be addressed there. What do we mean by original sin? Because these psalms are bringing up the topic of sin. And we need to recognize there's a reality. But we've got to get beyond this question of guilt. So, yes, it's a whole area that needs to be addressed.
And
these psalms...
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we have the help from the scripture, so it's all there. It's not that we have to invent anything.
I mean, we start with the love of God rather than the wickedness of humanity. I think that when we see sin in the light of God's love and not measuring up to that love. You see, the wonderful thing about the Hebrew scriptures, sin was missing the mark. That was the definition of it, missing the mark. So not being what we could be and should be.
It's almost like a sportsman. If he's not missing, the mark, he's a sinner.
Sorry, I didn't get that one.
If you have a sportsman, and trying to achieve certain things and is missing the mark, then he's a sinner.
Yes. Yeah, well, a bow and arrow is the good one for that, isn't it? Yes. Missing the mark of not measuring up to what we could and should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the penitential psalms. You say there are seven penitential psalms.
7 years, yes.
And that's not a coincidence that it's seven.
I think it might be. I think it's the Christian imagination that associated them with the seven deadly sins. But these are just a collection of seven individual laments. But there is one that doesn't start as an individual lament.
Which one is that?
That is actually the second one. Psalm 32 starts out as a wisdom psalm. You almost hear an echo of Psalm 1 about blessed are those who choose the righteous path. And it starts off with a beautiful couplet. Happy or blessed. Blessed is much, I prefer the translation blessed rather than happy. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Interesting, St. Paul picked up that line in his wonderful letter to the Romans, where in chapter 4, he saw righteousness, being in right relationship with God, comes through faith in that forgiveness rather than through works.
Oh.
Yes. So, but then it's the joy of being forgiven. I think many people experience that. Happy, choosing the right path and being doubly blessed because these people trust God who comes to their aid. And there's a repentant sinner, then who is one who has been freed from guilt, and they're blessed because they're held up as desirable. This is a picture of what people want to be as they emerge out of this freedom from guilt. And the paths that they choose, repentance, right relationship, these are held up as paths to be followed. And then the rewards of following God, appearing to be repentant initially, slow to acknowledge guilt. The consequences of sin are depicted as wasting away, as groaning day and night. You get this wonderful description. While I kept silent, this is burying guilt. My body wasted. It wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Oh boy, parts of the United States could identify that one. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not hide my iniquity. I confessed my transgression to the Lord. You forgave the guilt of my sin. That description of the consequences of buried sin and buried guilt. And it's to be let go of. If the faithful turn to God in their need, they will not be overcome. For God is a true refuge. And then when a person experiences this wonderful relief from guilt.
Isn't it also something that is very helpful when you are a spiritual person, when you are a believer, that you can always turn to God? So no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in your private life, you can always turn to God, and which helps people just to overcome certain disappointment from other human beings.
Yes. Oh, it's so beautiful because this is almost like, you know, the new covenant that comes into one's life, that from the beautiful book of Jeremiah, the days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah, not like their ancestors, whom I took out of Egypt and made a covenant on stone. Instead of stone, I will give them hearts of flesh. And that's the human element that God recognizes, the human element. And then that beautiful line in Exodus to Moses, the Lord, abounding in kindness, generosity, forgiveness, till the thousandth generation. What picture of God have we got? A God who loves each person infinitely? I think the greatest tragedy in life is for people not to recognize how deeply they're loved by God. And sure, the greater our love for God, the more we recognize where we go wrong in our life and don't measure up to that love. That's the greatest missing of the mark I can think of, knowing that we're loved by God. And then, of course, what's the response to this awareness of forgiveness? I will tell other people. And it's beautiful, Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. Don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and with bridle, else it will not stay near you. You've got to control it. These animals, they're so darn stubborn, not accepting forgiveness, and many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love, that steadfast love is God's essence, God's abiding faithfulness to the covenant made with each one of us when we're born and baptized, or even being born, because God loves every creature God makes. So yes, steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. And isn't it great? Trust and hope are so needed in our world today. But isn't that a beautiful flow from coming to that awareness, from celebrating that awareness and telling others of the generosity and the greatness and the love of our God?
But I think that's one of the points why these are psalms and why they are sung, because when somebody is happy, they often sing of joy. And I think that's the beauty with the psalms, that people, through the forgiveness of God, we are so happy that you sing it out loud. And this is something that is in several parts in the scriptures also, that sing it with your music and with your instruments, your psaltery, harps.
Sure, but look at even these laments. They don't stay as laments very long. They turn into celebration of joy and forgiveness.
Well, which one is the best known of the psalms of the penance, the penitential psalms? Which one is the one that is best known to the people?
Well, probably it would have to be 51. But before we go to 51, there's another one that is one of my favorites. And that, of course, is the one that expresses the very, very depths. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleading. If you, O Lord, should mark guilt, Lord, who would stand? But with you there is merciful forgiveness. And it has that wonderful image, more than watchmen wait for daybreak. Let Israel look to the Lord. See how it's gone from the individual to the community? Let Israel look to the Lord, for with the Lord there is plentiful forgiveness. So, yes, that's one of the beautiful Psalms, 130. And it actually starts out of the depths. I mean, this is Israel at its very, very deepest, direst situation, the deepest suffering, from which the psalmist cries out to God for mercy. And that mercy is not, interestingly, the covenant mercy, but it's pity. Mm. Pity. God, emet and hesed, emet and hesed. This loving, merciful pity for one who's in great distress. God is begged to hear, to respond. But then, of course, we have that opening plea, and then the recognition, Lord, if you were to mark iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. There's a lot more mercy and love in God than any sort of so-called anger. So I think that is it, love and trust, recognition of the boundless love of God. So, that's a prayer of confidence, recognizing this mercy, this confidence, acknowledging acknowledgement of guilt, appeal to God's mercy, and nothing more to do but to sit and wait. Just as the watchman waits for daybreak, then yes. The sinner waits for God, for God's forgiveness.
That reminds me of the seven brides, of the bridemaids, and waiting for Jesus, waiting for the bridegroom.
They were waiting. Oh, yes, yes. And you know why the bridegroom was delayed?
They were negotiating the price.
That was the bridegroom. And the longer he's away negotiating the price, the more valuable the bride is.
Yeah, so
isn't
if
nice
we...
to think
yeah, so
that
if
we're
we,
valuable that, to God.
So that means that if we take it to the Psalms, the longer we have to wait, the more precious we'll be, or the more precious God is to us.
Oh, but God doesn't keep us waiting. The moment that our heart, we admit in our heart that, Lord, we've messed up, but please forgive us. You know, I've always loved the line from one of the great teachers that I had. He became Superior General of the Jesuits, Father Adolfo Nicholas. He died just about a year or so back. And Adolfo said that, reconciliation, you know, the sacrament of penance, forgiveness, reconciliation, it's a celebration of a forgiveness you've already received. Now, you, when your heart turns back to God, God turns back to you in forgiveness. I'm just waiting for, when I go to the sacrament of reconciliation, for the priest to say, let's celebrate the fact that we're both forgiven sinners. Wouldn't that be an interesting start?
Yes.
And wouldn't it be true to the sacrament?
Yeah.
So one day it'll happen. One day it'll happen. But
yeah.
I think we really need to acknowledge as a church. We have to acknowledge that. And our ministers have to acknowledge the sinfulness. All of us do.
And the Pope has started.
Bless
yes.
Him.
So next Monday we are going to talk about the seven penitential psalms. So that will be our topic next Monday. And there's always some there are opportunities to share, to ask questions, or just to listen. So that's up to anybody who is joining us. And well, thank you very much, Brother Kieran, for this interview. And we have things to say.
Three of the seven.
Yeah, well, we have to do the rest in our session.
Right. Oh, well, come back for more.
We'll come back for more. Next week we'll have another interview on the Psalms, and that will be the last one of the series of interviews on the Psalms, and then we'll have something new in our thoughts. So we'll come up next week and let you know more about it. So the Psalms are also accompanied in our sessions with one Psalm, sung by Father Chris Skinner. And so next Monday we'll have the Psalm 137 that Father Chris Skinner sings, the song, Let My Tongue Be Silent. So it'll be Monday, 19th of July, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And the last session will be on the 26th of July. But as I said, you can join anytime you like. So all events are on my website at www.studyjoy.nz. And for more information and registration, send an email, please, to info@studyjoy.nz. Thank you very much, Brother Kieran. And I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you.
God, thank you.
Out there, peace is calling. In the bonds of love we meet. For the world a new day dawning and shines a light to greet. We're singing, this is the day when the hope is calling. This is the day when the light did shine. This is the day when the world can say, can you hear the call for this light to reveal?